Hello. Welcome to the Our Lady of Perpetual Help podcast series, recorded live during the liturgy at Our Lady of Perpetual Help Catholic Church in Ellicott City, Maryland. This homily is from the second Sunday in Ordinary Time, 2018.
It usually happens that the way that the Lord works is that He establishes certain ways that he wants to relate to us, certain ways He wants to come to us. There are certain principles that He has chosen to abide by so that we can know with a pretty good amount of certainty and confidence that when the Lord is at work, He tends to work in certain particular ways. And in our readings today, there are two really huge principles that the Lord really has chosen to abide by, that we need to know about in order to really enter in fully into our life of following after Him, fully into the spiritual life. And one of the huge principles that's here at work in the readings today and throughout all of Scripture is what you might call the principle of mediation, that the Lord very often desires to come to us by way and through other people. And that might sound really obvious, but in fact, although Scripture is filled with that principle at work, how the Lord will reach somebody else through another person, although we might know that up in the brain, very often we, in the actual living out of our spiritual life each day, it's amazing how often that we forget that He wants to do that. So in the gospel today, John the Baptist just declares out loud, "Behold the Lamb of God." And then we're told that two of His disciples happened to hear what He said. So John, it wasn't as though John said to the two of them, "Hey, pay attention to this. Look, that's the Lamb of God." John just declares it. But even through that outward declaration, the Lord uses that to get something stirred up inside of those two disciples. And in turn, they follow after Jesus. And then after they've spent the day with them, we learn that one of them is Andrew. And then Andrew goes to his brother Simon and says to him, "We have found the Messiah." The Lord used Andrew to bring his brother to the Lord, who then in this gospel declares, "You are Simon, son of John, but you will be called Kephas," the Aramaic for rock, what we have now as Peter. But notice that how the Lord is simply making use of other people. In the first reading today, we have something very similar. Young Samuel, whose mother gave him to the Lord and just as a young boy put him into the Lord's service. Samuel is learning the ways of the Lord. And in the middle of the night, three times the Lord calls him by name. And Samuel, who is unfamiliar with the voice of the Lord and that the Lord might even be calling him that clearly and that directly, he goes to the older priest, Eli. And as we heard, he says, "Here I am, you called me." And Eli, only on the third time, realizes that it was the Lord who was calling him. But then the Lord uses Eli to instruct Samuel, "Go back to sleep, and if you hear your name called again, here's what I want you to say. Say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So the Lord uses Eli to teach and form Samuel. But at work here is this really deep, really powerful and essential principle that the Lord abides by, which is, I want to get to you, but I need you to know that more often than not, I want to use other people. So that's one huge principle that we have at work here. Now, right alongside of that is another principle, which is this, that the Lord does not usually wait for really dramatic moments to connect with us and to reach us, but rather, even as he's working through other people, at that very moment, he also chooses more often than not to do so right in the middle of our regular, ordinary, daily life. In the gospel, something that I really love and just amazes me is that Andrew and the other disciple, whom we don't know his name, when they follow Jesus and he stops and he says, what are you looking for? And they say, well, we just want to know where you're staying, meaning we want to learn more about you and about your life. And the Lord's response is, come and see. He just invites them into his life for the whole rest of that day. Pretty telling that he doesn't give him a book, but just says, just come and be with me. Just experience my life, share in it right now. But when that happens, the end result, we're told, is that in the course of that time with Jesus, Andrew comes to believe that this is the Messiah. This is the one that we've been waiting for. So he goes and he tells his brother, Peter, but notice this detail in the gospel. We're told here that that first encounter with Jesus, it happened at about 4 in the afternoon. And this is really beautiful because however Andrew thought that day was going to play out, he remembered when it was all said and done that it was about 4 in the afternoon when my life changed. 4 in the afternoon. Like, why 4 o'clock? Who knows? Why not 3 or 5 or 7? Who knows? But Andrew was so profoundly touched by the Lord in that encounter with him that when he would relate it later on to John, the beloved disciple, whose gospel we are reading from here, Andrew made sure that he shared with them, I remember the very hour. It was 4 in the afternoon. Like that, the encounter with the Lord was so profound in that moment that he remembered the time and then he shared it. And then John includes it in the gospel here. But what I love about it is that it could have been any hour, but the fact is that the Lord, it was just right there in the middle of the afternoon that Andrew's life changed. It's in the ordinary, more often than not, that the Lord wants to get to us. For Samuel, in the first reading, it was right in the middle of the night. He was just sleeping. Like, you cannot find a more ordinary human thing than sleeping. He wasn't staying up saying, okay, Lord, I'm listening. I'm ready for you to come. I've been fasting all week. I've been really praying hard. And I've told everyone else, don't bother me. I'm waiting for God to come. It wasn't that kind of setting at all. It was just the ordinary. So these two things are huge. We need to know that God, more often than not, wants to come to us through others, the principle of mediation. And he wants to do that very often, most often, in the ordinary stuff of our daily life. So that the principle of the ordinary. And we have all this fresh still from Christmas, but this is what the Lord wants to do. So we need to know this so that we are on the lookout for him, how he might come to us through others in the ordinary stuff of our daily life. And we cannot write off times at work, in traffic, spending time with neighbors or friends. The Lord wants to be coming to us in those very moments through other people. But then the flip side is also true. He wants to work through you. He really is relying on you to make yourself available to him to work through, as he worked through John the Baptist, through Andrew, and through Eli. And he's going to stick to that principle of mediation because it's what he wants to do. Why does he do that? I think in large part because he made us as a family, and then in baptism brought us into the body of Christ, his son. And so he wants to honor the human family and the family, the body of the church, by saying, I want to work through you, that so that our life is not just all individually being connected with God as if no one else is around us, but he so loves the human family, he wants to work through it in order to reach us. So I've mentioned a number of times recently that we need, and I need you to be open to how the Lord wants to work through you. And we had invitation cards for the family dinner night, and I'm assuming that you use them because, as I told you last, we had 850 people join us for that family dinner night. And I don't think that all those people showed up only because I mentioned it here. I think and I know that there were many of you that made the invite. People are hungry, and not just hungry for really good beef tenderloin. They're hungry for love. They're hungry for a sense of purpose in their life, for meaning in their life. And I don't want you to discount how the Lord really does want to work through you. We have got to get over this kind of hurdle that we've put in place that says, well, I don't want to bother people. I don't want to stand out. And they don't want to hear what I have to say anyway. You know, they do. There was a study that was done in 2016. They surveyed a couple thousand people who identified themselves as non-churchgoers. And they asked a series of questions. One of them was, if a friend of yours wants to share their faith with you, would you enter into a conversation with them? And when it's a friend, like 70-something percent of non-churchgoers said, yeah, I would listen and be part of a conversation that a friend of mine would have with that. And when asked, what kind of invitation would most lead you to come to an event at a church? At the bottom of the list were things like a postcard or a Facebook ad. At the top of the list, the thing that non-churchgoers said they would most respond to, an invitation from a friend. They said, the Lord wants to work in this way and is clearly established it as a principle. And so I want, and I need to keep encouraging you to be open in that way. There are so many people around us in all of the ordinary stuff of daily life that are in need of God's grace, to know his love, to receive blessing from him, but he wants to do it through you in the midst of just the ordinary stuff of life. Last night, I had at the 4:30, I had shared just a couple snippets of this past week that I had, and I want to share this with you, but I do not want you to do what they did at the 4:30, which was, Father, I'm so sorry that you had that week. I'm not going to share this with you for any pity for myself. I'm sharing this because I need you to know that at any given moment, our brothers and sisters are going through things like this. So this is just my week this past week. Had the funeral and the burial for a family in the parish whose 20-something-year-old died from an overdose. Had a family, and this happens all the time, where we had a parent who has been just received a cancer diagnosis. Met with a family who's working out, kind of putting life back together after their house had a major fire that has them out of the house now for months to come. Met with a woman who's older, 40-something-year-old adult son is in the midst of severe mental health issues and opioid addiction. And these are just, like, that was my last 7 days. These are our brothers and sisters in the life of the parish. We, you know, the economy, it looks good right now. Things are good. It is such a paper-thin veil. You just have to peel that up. And there are so many lives that are in a place where so much of our life is beyond our control. And we do such a good job of having a really thin veneer of control over our life. And we don't at all. There are so many things that are beyond us. So that our parish will be a place where we are ready to let the Lord work through us, to reach others, to be open to how God wants to reach us through others. But this is what he made our parish family to do and to be. But I need you to be open to that, because if you're not open to it, it is not going to happen. You know, I did almost go crazy this week between hospital visits, anointings, and all of these different things. Like, I can't do it alone. That's not how he made the church. It cannot, and it was never meant to be just like a one-priest show. He intends on working through you. He deeply desires and wants to work through you, but he needs you to be open to it. I need you to be open to it. So I'm just going to keep coming back to this until I can get you over the hurdle so that you're in a place where you are accepting of that reality, that God has made you in such a way, designed you and built you, that he can and wants to work through you. And if we don't do it, that the world around us, that hunger for the Lord and for meaning and for purpose, people are going to more and more abandon any hope that they might have. In the midst of the week that I had after an anointing, I had a little bit of time after praying and anointing someone before going to another off-site meeting. So I went into a Starbucks to grab a coffee, and I was in my collar. There was a guy there who's, I'm going to guess and say maybe in his mid-60s, but I'm in the collar. So he immediately approaches me, strikes up a conversation, and he shares with me like the whole of his life. And so the short of it is that he grew up, he went to Loyola High School, had the Jesuits who formed him. He dropped out of the church. He grew up across the street from a guy who's one of our Baltimore priests. But this conversation was all over the place. But the point of it was, he wanted to let me know why he doesn't go to church anymore or pray or believe in God anymore. And it was this. He said, look at the world. It's such a mess. I told him, you know, he asked me, where's your church? I said, Ellicott City. Oh, you had the flood. Someone died there. And, you know, this is the problem, is look at the world. It's such a mess. And all the while, God, he's just up there. He's just laughing at us. And that was his attempt to make sense of suffering. Like, that was it. For him, the easiest answer is, when he sees all the suffering, is to just say, well, he's up there, and he's just having fun laughing at us. I wish at the moment I had this crucifix to be able to say to him, do you think he's laughing? He's not laughing at all. He's with us in this. But somewhere along the lines, in the midst of all that this guy was going through, his name is Tim, in everything that Tim was going through, I don't know, things weren't in place that maybe could have been, and here's a guy who's just has lost all hope. The Lord needs us to be available to him, available for him to work through. I need you guys to get over the hurdle, whatever it might be that holds you back, because he really does want and intend and he needs to work through you. If Jesus wanted to do it himself directly, he would have stayed on earth and been in a million places all at once. But he didn't do that. He poured out the Holy Spirit on you in baptism and confirmation and said, you are my body. And so that's my prayer, just with these scripture readings, is Lord, put us in a place where we are open and ready to let you work through us in this way. The world is hungry, and the Lord wants to feed it with faith and love and hope through each and every one of you.
Thank you for listening to the Our Lady of Perpetual Help podcast series. We invite you to visit our website at www.olphparish.org to get connected with everything our parish has to offer.